Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. Thank you for gathering around the Word of God with us this Sunday morning, this Lord's Day. Amen. This day when Christians around the world have set apart, not as the Old Testament Sabbath on a particular day, but because of the resurrection of Jesus and a decision made to let's have a day when Christians recognize that we are a ecclesia. We're not just a church with stone and stained glass and steeple. We are called out ones. Praise God. We're a church in the sense that we are part and parcel of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to have a day which we stop to honor Him. Praise God. Thank you this Sunday for stopping to honor Him, stopping by here at our website to honor Him by hearing and heeding His Word today, by worshiping Him. Part of our worship is not just the songs that we sing or sing with. Amen. It is the life that we live. It's the way we receive and honor and reverence His Word. It's part of our true worship of God today. So thank you for being a true worshiper. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15 down through verse 19 today. I want to minister this morning on the subject, exalting the exalted Christ. Exalting the exalted Christ. I'm going to make a statement to you. God has already exalted Him. God has all, in fact, the Bible said that God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name that is named of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. He's Lord, all right. In fact, He's Lord of all. And the reason God gave Him that kind of preeminence that we're going to talk about today is because, though He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, He humbled Himself and took on Himself the form of a servant and became obedient to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him. Let me tell you something today. When we exalt the already exalted Christ, when we exalt Him, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost confirms Jesus as Lord of all by manifesting His presence and His power where He is exalted like God has exalted Him. And when that occurs, people are convicted of their sin and they are saved. They're set free and delivered. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Friend of mine, we need in every pulpit in America preachers that are exalting Jesus today, not exalting their ministry, their self, certainly not exalting their wealth and their riches, but exalting Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. Well, let me read it to you. When Peter went down to Cornelius' house to deliver a message that God told him to deliver, to preach Christ unto them, this is the message that he gave. Look at the result of a Christ-exalting message and what God did and how the Holy Ghost moved upon all that heard it. Listen to what Peter preached. This is in Colossians, and it's in chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. It says, and he talks about redemption through His blood. Listen, who is the image, speaking of Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Praise God. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. That in all things He should have the preeminence. And it goes on to say, and while Peter was yet speaking, all that were in the house were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. And the Jews, the Messianic Jews that had already received Jesus, that were with Peter, they marveled. They knew that God had given grace to the Gentiles because they said, we hear them speak in tongues, for we know they have been given the gift of the Holy Ghost even as we. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, friend of mine, this is so powerful. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on all who heard the word. Praise God. Amen. Listen, and we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, I'm going to go ahead and read that, verse 46, 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they prayed that he would tarry with them certain days. Don't just go now. You know what they wanted? The song wasn't written yet, but I love the song. That old hymn of the faith that said, tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more and more about Jesus. More of His mercy, more of His grace, more of His love my soul can trace. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. I'll tell you, when Jesus is exalted, the Holy Spirit moves mightily. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. But the Holy Spirit can be released to do the supernatural, bringing a Christ-exalting, Christian-empowering, devil-chasing Holy Ghost revival, reclaiming and relighting the lampstand. Praise God. The first love can be rekindled when we do our first works once again. We are in such need of the person and power of the Holy Spirit manifesting the resurrected Christ and His resurrected power in the lives and hearts of every child of God, so that out of our belly, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Springing up unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. When they heard Peter exalt Jesus, give Him the preeminence like this. Amen. Then the Holy Ghost fell while He was yet speaking on all of them. They opened their heart. The Spirit of God moved in their heart, and God filled their heart with His Holy Spirit. Praise God. Listen, this is the essence of ministry, where Jesus is lifted up in truth and made the center of our focus, where He, in essence, has the preeminence in our life, in our churches, in our pulpits, in our worship, in our singing. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is excited and activated within us. He's stirred within us. Praise God. Jesus is exalted. God is glorified. Praise God. Amen. I want to make a statement today. the 21st century postmodern church, in many cases, too many cases, has become very efficient in organizing, very good at preaching and teaching. We are now hearing about, and have for some time now, seeker-friendly churches, a kind of designer gospel made to order to stimulate interest and boost attendance. The 21st century church is highly efficient at fundraising. The church that uses worldly marketing techniques to stimulate giving has found that people will give generously if you just press the right buttons. The promise of earthly wealth brings thousands of people to those churches and millions of dollars into the treasury. But friend, the first century church leaned on none of these things. That maybe some of them in and of themselves aren't bad, but the problem is Jesus doesn't have the preeminence. And there's no manifestation of the presence of God in the person of Christ. There's no manifest presence of God. There's no lampstand in that church. That church is represented perfectly by the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation 3. Jesus came to the Laodicean church, which was the richest church in all of Asia in material blessings, but the poorest in spiritual blessings and spiritual understanding. Jesus is knocking on the door of a church. It's one thing for him to knock on the heart of a sinner in conviction, to bring truth to an agnostic that don't know if there is a God and don't know if anyone can prove it one way or the other, and then they see it and they realize it and they grasp it. It's one thing for him to knock on the door of someone who is steeped in sin and drugs and all kinds of debauchery. And then they have an awakening, their eyes come open, and they see their lost condition, their need for a Savior. When he knocks on those doors, many of them open the door and let him in, and they come to Christ repenting of their sin and receive him as their Savior. But that's not the door, the heart door he's knocking on. He's knocking on the door of a church so obsessed and impressed with their material wealth at the expense of the spiritual and eternal, and in particular at the expense of exalting Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus himself who's knocking on the door. He should be the most welcome person in every church. Can I get an amen? A loud amen today. He shouldn't have to knock on the door. The door ought to be standing open. Hallelujah. And there ought to be a chair somewhere in there that nobody sits in, because it's reserved for him, that in all things he having the preeminence. Hallelujah. Praise God. But instead, he knocks on the door and the door is shut before him. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, his word, and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and him with me." He wanted fellowship with his people. He wanted a relationship, a fellowship relationship with all of his children. But they were so satisfied with the wealth and the material possessions, the fortune, the fame that it would give them, they were so obsessed with that that their values matched exactly the values of a sin-blinded, self-exalting, self-serving, fallen world. Isn't that an amazing thing? He said, "I wish you were hot or cold," to them. "I wish you were on fire, or admit your terrible, terrible lost condition because I believe they literally were not saved. I believe they came to Jesus because of the promise of wealth, the promise of blessings alone, and they didn't come to Him as Lord and Savior, and they didn't make Him Lord of all because they didn't bow to Him as Lord at all. And I don't believe you can serve two masters. Why, preacher? Why you? Because Jesus said that we couldn't. He said you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. You will hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can serve Him with wealth, but you can't serve Him and bow to the wealth of the world and all of the pride and all of the carnal desires fulfilled in our life that it can give you. You can't serve wealth as your master. It's not money. Money's neutral. It's how we perceive it and how we use it. The love of money is the root of all evil, because it is a love for that the world exalts instead of that, and in particular Him whom God has highly exalted and we should be exalting today. Listen, friend of mine, it's so important that we understand today that God is calling His people to a different value system. Hallelujah. He's calling men and women in pulpits to exalt Jesus. For when He is exalted, the Holy Spirit falls on them who hear. I want to say that again. It's right there in Colossians 1 and beginning with verse 15 through verse 18. While Peter yet spoke, exalting Jesus, giving Him the preeminence, the Holy Ghost fell upon everyone in the house. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Amen. Even as those Jews had done earlier. They said, we know they're Christian too. God has brought the Gentiles in to this wonderful, wonderful gospel of the grace of God and saved them as well. Glory to God, making one body, tearing down the middle wall of partition and making us one. Jew and Gentile, bond and free. Male, female, rich or poor, we're one in Jesus Christ today. And we should give Him and Him alone the preeminence in everything because He is Lord of all and over all. Praise God. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he went down to Corinth, he said, when I came to you, my preaching and my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of Spirit and power. What caused this manifestation of the Spirit of God and the power of God when Paul was preaching? The next verse tells us, he said, because my preaching was not with the wisdom of men, but a demonstration of Spirit and power. What caused that to occur? He said, when I came to you, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. This deep reverence for the Lord, that fear he's talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, my teaching, my preaching was not with man's wisdom, but demonstration of Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, and therefore in the person of Christ. Because he said, I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and Him crucified. I'm going to exalt Him. Hallelujah. Whom God has exalted because He humbled Himself and was obedient to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him. Therefore, I'm going to highly exalt him. God has given him the preeminence, and I'm giving him the preeminence. And in that kind of message and that kind of priority given to Jesus, there was a demonstration of spirit and power. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, Philip went down to Samaria, the Bible said, and preached what? He preached healing, preached deliverance. Oh, those things came into it. But listen, he went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Glory to God, and many that were bound were set free, many sick were healed, and many, many, many were saved. Hallelujah. So many, amen, came to Christ when there was a demonstration of spirit and power, and so many hungry for more of God when they came to Christ and were baptized, that he sent a message to the church leaders to send him help, to come down and lay hands on them. He couldn't handle it all by himself. Amen. Hallelujah, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Spiritual hunger came alive in them for more of God and more of the person of God and the person of Christ and the power and presence of God. Hallelujah. This is mighty revival. And the Bible said because so many were delivered and set free, so many saved, there was great joy in that city. It was a citywide revival. Hallelujah. Where God moves like that, cities are shaken. And God moved like that everywhere the disciples gave Jesus the preeminence and exalted him above everything and everyone else. Praise God. To such a degree, when they came into a city, they knew what happened in the city that they came from. And they said, the men have come here that have turned the cities upside down. Well, what happened? Amen. They were already upside down. They were wrong with God. When they left, they were right with God. Amen. When they turned them upside down, they became right side up. But it shook cities. It shook the gates of hell. They literally plundered hell and populated heaven because they gave Jesus the preeminence. The Laodicean church said, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. That's why Jesus has to knock, because he doesn't have the preeminence. And he said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll sup with you, and you can sup with me. We'll have fellowship together. Amen. We'll have a relationship of intimacy, and there will be power present. A lampstand will glow brightly. The world will see that he is Lord of all. But you've chosen the material and the physical over the spiritual and eternal. Thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. But I say unto you, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, and you'll be truly rich. Amen. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. See what? See your lost condition. See your real condition. Oh, friend of mine, listen, and buy of me white raiment that you might be clothed and the shame of your nakedness would not appear. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous and repent. It's not too late to get your priorities straight. Hallelujah. Amen. The first love was lost at the church of Ephesus. He said, do your first works. I'll take your lampstand if you don't. But if you do, I'll restore everything that the devil has deceived you and to do and stolen from you in the name of the right religion, going through the right motions, but not from the heart any longer. God longs to be preeminent in our heart and in our life. when Jesus has the preeminence, He's Lord of all. Hallelujah, because He's Lord of me and He's Lord of you. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit that was grieved with Laodicea, that was quenched literally while going through commendable religious rituals, doing the right thing, and yet not from the heart. He were grieving, quenching the Holy Spirit. There's no manifestation of the presence and power of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, but, oh, can you imagine what would happen if the same Holy Ghost was ungrieved and unquenched and allowed to move freely in us and through us, that out of our belly, our innermost being, there was a flow of living water. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Do you sense Him today? You see the difference in the modern day approach and philosophy of ministry even, and the early church dependent on the person of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What a difference. We rarely, cities, they could care less about us going in our compounds that we call churches, amen, sitting on our pews, doing our thing, going out and blending with the world, our values matching them. We're seeking the same things that they're seeking and wondering why God is not saving them, delivering them, because they don't see the difference. They don't see the contrast. They don't understand that the most precious and most powerful thing is not the silver. It's not the gold. It's not the steeple and the stained glass and the stonework. It's a person. And it's a person whose blood was shed for our redemption and our salvation. The precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot, without wrinkle. This is the true riches of the true church. And nothing and no one will have the preeminence over Him. And in the preaching, He will be exalted. In the teaching, He will be exalted. Hallelujah. In the worship, He will be exalted. Praise God. Hallelujah. And where He's exalted, the Holy Ghost will come and move freely, mightily, wonderfully, reviving, restoring, rekindling the first love, reclaiming and reigniting the lampstand in every church where that occurs. I want to be in that kind of church because that's where God is moving mightily, even in this day of the falling away. And the false prophets and the compromises, there is a real, genuine, authentic move of God waiting for you and for me and all those that would join us and say, Lord, you don't have to knock. You don't have to knock on my heart's door. It's standing open. Hallelujah. Come in. Come in, Jesus. Fill me. Fill my life with your person, with your presence, with your power, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, God, live in me. Come, Christ, live in me. Come, Holy Spirit, live in me and through me. Hallelujah. Preacher, today, if you're in a pulpit, you have a pulpit, exalt Jesus. Don't get off into tangents. Don't let anyone pressure you into not lifting up Jesus and giving Him the preeminence. Oh, see, let's all see what God will do. Not what He can do, but what He will do. A lady in our church used to sing, "Do it again. Do it again." And I always thought of Samson saying, Lord, strengthen me one more time. Hallelujah. Let the anointing come one more time. Let your power come on me one more time. Compromise cost him that power, but he's trying to reclaim it, saying one more time. Amen. Show me where this temple where they're blaspheming you. I caused it. Where they're blaspheming you. They don't fear you anymore. My eyes have been plucked out. My anointing is gone. There's no power in my body anymore. But he asked a little boy, said, this must be a big temple. There must be huge columns holding it up. Can you position me between those columns that I may feel how big they are? He was led like a beast. Amen. In fact, they had him at a grist mill. He already had the rope on him. Amen. And he walked up, put his hands upon those great columns, and for the glory of God and the name of the Lord's sake, not for him to avenge his eyes, amen, upon his enemies, but so that God's enemies might know there is a living God in the land of Israel, and you have defied him. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon his defender of Israel, his man that he had previously anointed. And we once again anointed him with such power. He pushed, and those great columns broke in two like matchsticks. And that great temple fell on the false worshipers of a false god. And the living God was once more glorified. Oh, dear friend of mine, let's pray that God will move like he moved then, now, like he moved in past revivals, once again in our generation. Let's cry unto the Lord, oh God, fill me, fill us as we exalt Jesus and make him our Lord of all as well. Oh friend, if you don't know Jesus today, he's not your Lord, he's not your master. In fact, the Bible said you do have a master. You have a Lord. Jesus said, whoever you yield your members, or the Scriptures tell us, servants to obey, his servant you are whom you obey. That means slave, servant, slave to him. Whoever you are serving with your body, your mind, your mouth, your values, that's your master right now. And the Bible said, without Christ, we are of our father, the devil. We're doing his bidding, his works we will do. That's why the wickedness and the evil is manifesting. People that are servants of the devil doing his destructive, deceptive, disastrous works. Children killing children and killing parents and parents killing children, and it goes on and on and on. I don't want to be part of that kingdom. I don't want to be aligned with that kingdom. I certainly don't want to be an ally of that kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, but I want to be a servant. A slave, if you please, a bond slave. Working at a debt I'll never repay, but glad to work for the Lord all the days of my life. How about you today? Let's exalt Jesus now more than ever. Let's give him in all things the preeminence. And let's see God move again. Hallelujah. One more time. One more earth-shaking, city-shaking, mighty move, nation-shaking, mighty move of God before Jesus comes and the door to the ark is closed. Let's see how many souls can be ushered into the kingdom of God. It's too big for us and our programs, but nothing is impossible with God. If you don't know the Lord today, the Bible said that you're without God and without hope in the world. You're in the world system, the kingdom of darkness, influenced by the prince of darkness. And you're without any hope. Can't save yourself. Can't free yourself from the habit, from the deception, from the spiritual blindness. Oh, but today if you've caught a glimpse of the glory of the highly exalted, preeminent Christ, the one who died for you on the cross, and that blood right now claims you, if you will come to Him. Jesus has supplied it already to save you, to set you free, to break you out of that prison. And if you right now, having heard the gospel, decide to turn from darkness to light, you can turn. To turn from Satan to Christ, from sin to God. The power of God will be manifest, and the Lord will set you free. No demon, no devil, no habit, Satan himself and all his hordes and minions will not be able to keep you from coming to Jesus. So come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Hallelujah. And be saved. Be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And be safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name. Thank you.